It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And we got a lot we want to cover on this episode of Skate Talk. Coach, as always, thank you so much for lining up some amazing guests.
Oh, wow.
And something really cool that we're going to get into is we talk about an upcoming meet. So let's do it without further ado.
Yeah, we have Nick Champ on the line. How are you?
I'm excellent. How you guys doing tonight?
Cold.
Cold.
It's still freezing over here. Oh man. Did you guys see the video that Jared Geddes posted on Facebook the other night after practice Monday night?
No, I didn't.
So Jared Geddes went home, grabbed his skates with his ice blades, walked down his driveway and skated down his street and back up to his house on his ice blades.
You would have been able to. It was horrible. And we had, I think, Nick, this was because I know you're south of where we are by a little bit, so the climate's a bit different. We had one day, this was about a week and a half ago, on a Sunday. It actually got to like 50-some degrees, so I was able to get out for just a little bit. And the road was wet for the most part, but there were enough dry spots in there. And then, of course, that was our small window, and now we're back to winter smacking us in the face.
Yeah, icy roads again. So... We'll jump right in and just to kind of update you guys. You know, Nick obviously has a speed team down there with Kentucky Speed, and he's been a strong promoter on the committee on the board for USRSS, and he's been working with city commissioners and everything else going on over there to try to put on a really cool race event. So we got him on because we were supposed to do the event here this last month, and we ended up having to scratch it because it just didn't work out. So we had to cancel it and move it to a different date, which actually worked out great for everybody because Nick's got some really cool things to talk about by this upcoming meet. So, Nick, we're going to go ahead and open the floor to you, and maybe we'll jump in and ask some questions as you start talking because I'm super excited.
Well, it's really cool. You know, it was unfortunate that the timing with coating the floor just couldn't fit properly coating the floor into the window that we wanted to. And it turned out to be a blessing. It turned out to be a good thing where we were able to secure a mid-April date. And mid-April in Kentucky is a lot better than mid-February in Kentucky. So we're able to put a package together, put an indoor package together, put an outdoor package together. And we've been able to do some really, really cool things. We're excited. I can't tell you how excited we really are. It's been a long time, but we are since there's been racing in Kentucky. But you know, we're ready. We are. We've been working with let's just cut to it. The coolest news out of all this: forget about quad, forget about inline, forget about elite inline, forget about indoor, forget about outdoor. The coolest part of this is we want everybody to be able to race, and it doesn't matter what organization you're affiliated with. If you come to the Kentucky Speed Thoroughbred Classic, April 12th, 13th, and 14th, we are going to be honoring all skating organization membership cards at no additional fee. So you're going to pay your race registration, whatever it's going to cost to race, but you're not going to have to pull a USRSS membership card for this. We're going to honor WIFTA memberships. We're going to honor USARS memberships. We're going to honor World Skate memberships. We're going to honor MRDA memberships. We want everybody to be able to race.
Now, this isn't an April Fool's now, right?
This is real deal, man. This is hot off the press. This is it's not easy, I'll tell you. It's not easy to do. The insurance adjusters and insurance brokers, they when we first brought this to them, you know, they're like, you guys are crazy.
Well, I could have told you that.
We literally, I said, yeah, we know. We know, and you know, you got to come up with some common goals. You have to make, for speed skating to grow, you've got to make it relatively cost effective.
Right.
And, you know, we feel by making this happen, and this is, make no mistake, this was not easy. This was very challenging. And, you know, we want everybody to race. It's that simple. You know, come race, come have a good time. We've got a lot of things going on. We got mixed up with the Bluegrass Sports Commission, which put on the PGA Barbasol Championships that were the pro golf, the PGA Golf Championships back in July were right outside Lexington. And these are the guys who put it on, and they have really pushed us to do some things kind of outside the box that you know, you go to a meet, you've seen a meet done a certain way for so many years. This is going to be a little different. You know, this is going to be a lot different. Forget about, you know, just honoring other organizations' memberships. On Friday, we've got a welcome reception, and Friday evening, we've got John Rogers is going to DJ our Friday night skate. So if you want to come roll with John Rogers, come roll with John Rogers.
For sure.
Pretty cool. He's coming down. He's going to announce for us. We are going to have open wheel testing and practice Friday evening. And for those of you who don't know, we are recoating the floor. We've been using tight coat on our skating floor for 20 something years. The skating floor we have now hasn't been recoated since 2007 when it was brand new.
Wow.
And the floor is still amazing, but we're recoating specifically for this event. This is the same epoxy plastic that they use at the American Championships at Colorado Springs. It's a little bit different than roll on. It skates a little bit different.
Yeah, and you know what, Christian and Aaron and Jared, and you know, whenever they got done skating the American Championships this past season, I asked them, you know, when we were there, what's the deal with the floor? Because everybody was just kind of freaking out a little bit about the plastic. And basically, what it is that plastic, when you get on your edges on inlines, mm-hmm. you have this sensation that you're just going to wash out, but it never comes. The washout never happens. You just stick and grip and roll. And so it's there's amazing. Always that feeling that you're going to just let go. But these guys are turning eights. I mean, Jarrett Paul was just ripping that plastic like nobody's business.
Yes.
And he never once barked or slipped out or anything.
Wow.
But yet everybody came off after the roll around practice and was like, man, I don't know, coach, this floor, it just feels slippery. And I said, well, were you slipping? No. But it felt slippery. It felt like we were just going to slip right out, but we didn't slip out.
But it still holds you.
But it holds great. And the one thing that I noticed was, you know, and like, for instance, you know, we use roll-on at the rink here. And our rink owner is this dedicated, diehard roll-on. It's got to be roll-on. Well, roll-on, after you put it down, and nothing against the product, because I love roll-on, you know, to skate on fresh roll-on is great. The problem is I notice after we skate it a little bit, you get a groove, you know, you get a track worn in.
It burns into it.
Well, we skated every race on the exact same track at the American Championships. Inlines, quads, relays.
Correct.
Everything was on the exact same track. Not one time did I see a wheel mark or a rolled-in track that was definitive that this is where everybody's skating. The only way you knew was because there was pylons dictating where the track's supposed to be.
Well, in this product, it's called Tycoat. It's an epoxy-based product. It's a part A, part B, and much like roll-on that you literally roll it on, this product actually goes down with a 4-foot wallpaper brush, like a bristle brush that's self-leveling.
Uh-huh.
It's a really unique product that it's a harder product than roll-on, but it grips. And, you know, Christian's been at my place years ago, and he skated a little bit. And when I told him that the plastic when he was here was 10 years old or 9 years old, he didn't believe me. With that being said, the product, I'm basically going to be spending $14,000 to coat my skating floor.
Right.
And this product, where roll-on would cost you, $1,600, something like that?
Right. So it has to last 10 years.
Well, yeah, the difference would be is the fact, yeah, you don't have to do it every 6 months.
Yes. Well, you're saving 24 hours of dry time every year or twice a year.
You're basically saving 72 hours of dry time is what you're really saving. And this is really curing time. And that was the challenge that we ran into getting prepared for this February meet is we didn't leave ourselves enough time to cure before we open for our skating sessions. And, you know, let's face it, we're speed skating, but we go to skating rinks and entertainment facilities that you have to have your public skater. You can't pay your bills.
That's right. And all speed skaters and coaches should know and understand and recognize that if our rinks can't stay in business, we have nowhere to indoor skate.
That's right.
So you have to take care of your rink owners and take care of your rink businesses that are willing to give up some floor time and allow events to take place, especially big invitationals. Because, you know, league meets, you can kind of squeeze them in the morning on a Sunday. You can work them around a busy, not busy time. But an invitational,
you're taking up the weekend.
You're taking up the weekend, and you got to be flexible. And these rink owners, a lot of them lose big money. I mean, so I have nothing but respect for every rink that hosts an event. No matter what event, no matter what organization you're hosting through, that rink has given up valuable floor time where they can have a private party, they can have birthday parties. I mean, there's just thousands of dollars that they're saying, I'm going to give to the sport. And that's why I get frustrated when I see people treat rink owners like crap, you know, at an event. I get mad. It irritates me because they give up so much for us, and there's far few in between anymore. You know, it's hard to get a rink owner to give up time.
So, sure, and you know, I have a unique perception of everything going on, and my perspective is a little bit different than everybody else's, where, you know, I've been a speed skater, and I've been in other people's rinks, and I know the financial cost.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at the Bells Invitational, the Bells Meet, how cool that was. You know, when back in the 80s, I raced at Bells. I mean, it was cool. It was kind of cool to come back for me. But, you know, we've got to get more operators willing to sacrifice for the greater good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know where I'm at.
So just out of curiosity, because it's been a long time since you'd been there and whatnot, we still have the Bells dip at the end of turn one. What'd you think of that?
Well, it caught me off guard. I know exactly what happened. I was standing on the end and somebody fell or something, and you asked me if I could hand the dust mop to somebody, and I was like, whoa, where'd that come from?
Yeah. You had to run down the hill and back up the hill to get through the turn.
I did indeed.
We're used to it, though, so it works out fine.
That was the advantage to the Bells skaters, was they all knew how to skate the dip. And anybody else that doesn't know how to skate it, they run into that corner super hard, and they end up ramping basically over that dip. Yeah. And it just kind of – it'll catch you off guard if you're not prepared for it.
Well, a home court advantage, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Know where the slippery spots are.
Hey, no, I'm kind of curious, Nick, when it comes to your event, and again, just to kind of stress the fact that whatever your card is, all cards are welcome.
Yes.
What's the track going to be? What track are you using?
It will be an oval track. It will be the U.S. roller speed skating track. It's, you know, coming from a kid who grew up on four corners, four pylons, I like the oval.
I love it.
It encourages late passes. That late pass is always going to be there.
Yep.
And then, you know, the pass coming out of the corner, it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of an adjustment.
That oval track, in my opinion, at slower speeds, when you're fast paces, but when you're pacing around, the oval track is far more entertaining to watch races on. Because people get into the corners 2-3 wide all the time.
Exactly.
You don't have to try to run in and pinch into a spot where everybody wants to be that one spot. There's three lanes, and they don't converge until halfway through the turn.
So, almost to the top of the apex.
So it's way easier to get in there on a late pass. And even if, let's say, a skater gets there a little bit late, there's not that hard slam into the back of someone or slam into the side of them facing them because they're turning in and you're running straight at them. It's kind of bumpers off of each other's shoulder to the hip or whatever, and you can still get through the corner, you know, with a little bit of a bump out and still skate it and not get completely obliterated. So,
well, you saw at the American Championships during the Race of Champions, you saw Jarrett Paul and you saw Christian and you saw Aiden how fast were getting through the corners and how clean they were passing.
Yeah.
You're
not pinched off.
Correct.
The lanes are just bigger to run through.
Well, and if you're not used to the track, there's going to be the practice on Friday.
That's
the,
right.
The wheel test.
Correct.
And whatnot.
That's,
so you
that's
do
what
have...
that's for.
Well, I'll tell you what, and I'll be dead honest with you. And I tried to explain it to my skaters when we first went to the oval track. And we do both tracks because I got skaters that go to, you know, USAR's events. So we put the four pylons out and we let them train on that. We put the radius out and we skate on the oval, you know, when we're going to be doing... We mostly do ovals, but we have a handful doing invitationals. So I run practices or certain drills specifically for the USAR's track so that my skaters are prepared for that. And what my skaters have all found out was it skates exactly the same. Because when you enter at top speeds, you're basically on the same exact track that you skate for USARs. The difference is you don't have a pylon that's going to be right next to your foot when you enter the turn. It's about 5 feet to the left of you. And so you have to be mindful of the tendency on a radius and an oval like that is you tend to cut the corner off. Because you want to be close to those pylons like you're used to doing, this is the problem. You want to be right next to the pylons like you're used to being on the four corner track. The problem is if you do that, you're just going to swing way out wide through the apex and end up against the wall on the other side. You
have right, the to guy be behind you is going to cut pylons. Under on the inside. He's going to be gone.
So that was the biggest transition. But otherwise, so what kind of distances are we going to be running at Kentucky?
Well, we got some cool things going on. You're going to see some things and you're going to hear some things that you're going to hear about a recreation division. The recreation division, I'll be honest with you, it wasn't my brainchild. The Bluegrass Sports Commission, they do a lot of events. They do a lot of 5Ks. And they came to me and said, hey, we want to do this and we want to have we want to be a part of what you're doing. We want to help you promote this. We want to do a recreation division. And I kind of scratched my head and said, okay, what's a recreation division? So this is not going to be outdoor. It's not going to be indoor.
Yeah.
You can sign up with the appropriate helmet and the appropriate one-day card and your registration fee for this recreation race. You can do it on roller skates. You can do it on hockey skates. You can do it on inline skates. You can do it on inline race skates. And they're doing it as a mass start by age division. I'm kind of chuckling at this whole thought, but they have a master plan for all this, and I just thought it was pretty amazing. So I went ahead and rolled with it. They want to do this rec division because they want to take speed skating and push it into the universities as a club sport, as an intramural. And when they told me that, I said, well, let's do it. Why not? What's it going to hurt? What's one race outside? Bring your skates, bring your helmet. Let's see how it works out.
And then, Nick, this is what I found, and I always tell people this story. Back in the early 2000s, 1999, they used to, in Columbus, Ohio, they ran a series of events. Mm-hmm. And you could sign up as a speed skater, or you could sign up as a recreational skater. And everything was scored differently. Like, if I'm a rec skater, I went to, Dick's Sporting Goods and I bought myself a pair of rollerblades. I could wear those in this event, whether it be a 5K, a 10K half marathon, and I am scored completely different from the guy who was on the five-wheeled skates at the time and all the spandex. And that really encouraged people to be there because I'm not competing against Christian.
Yeah. That's right.
And when they started then getting rid of that, when it was all kind of lumped in, all the recreational skaters went away. Because then it's like, well, it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a chance.
I can't compete with that guy, so I'm not going
to
do it.
Yeah. To be honest with you guys, I just was thinking to myself, I have found a division I might be competitive in.
There you go.
I'm just saying.
And ideally, then, what you do is you take these recreational skaters, and they have fun. They get a medal or whatever afterwards. And then they're like, man, I want to be like those people.
Yeah.
When you start planting seeds is what you do. You never know what you're going to get out of it. And the reality at the end of the day is more people need to be racing.
Correct.
It's no more complicated. It's no more simple. If you want to grow a sport, you give people opportunity.
Right.
And that's what this is about. So when you see this recreation division, personally, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
It's a short race. It's 1,000 meters. You know, and we might see some cool road rash.
It's 1,000 meters?
Not.
Coach is out now.
See, I thought it was going to be like 200 meter, 100 meter sprint. So I'm in.
But, yeah.
It's 1,000. I'm out. I can't.
In 1,000 meters, friend. In that.
I can't last that long, Nick. I'm telling you right now.
You'll have to peel them off the course at 500.
Off the line, I'm already looking for my inhaler.
Wait a minute. I saw you skate the American Championships. I thought you did pretty all right.
I'm a year older.
You're a year older. You're a year wiser.
Father time. That's what it is. It's father time.
Well, it's.
You know the worst. You know the worst part about this is we're kind of joking and having fun with this, but I would get out there and probably take 10th and feel like absolute crap against some young guy that's just ripping it strong as ever on his Walmart rollerblades, and he just destroys me. Oh.
Well, maybe we ought to just have like a rental skate race too. You know, yes. Pick your pair of rental skates from the skate room and come race.
Now I'm gonna tell you what I did. I did a coach's brownie race. Up at Great Skate when Jay Ingram hosted, I don't think it was regionals. I think it was a league meet he hosted. And I'm just going to say we got into a nice heated race between myself, Jenny Steckety, and Lisa Dunham. And those ladies are cheaters. I had to grab hair and I had to grab hips. And I was twisting them every way I could get. And I'll tell you what, they both beat me.
And they were the cheaters. So wait, so Coach is talking about
cheaters? You can't call them cheaters. It's called a tactical advantage.
Thank you, Nick, for standing up for my ability not to skate very well. So anyways,
I was talking about them, not you.
Jenny Steckety still has a photo, and she every now and then she'll share it, and she'll call me up, and she'll say, "Why would you grab my hips and twist me on brownies?"
You got to do what you got to do.
She obviously doesn't know the rule, which is, you know, winning isn't everything. It's the only thing.
That's right. Well, I must tell you, because it was an unofficial event, there was no officials to watch this race.
So you get so away with it.
Nothing was called.
Yes.
So no foul was administered. Therefore, I did nothing wrong.
What kind of odds did you get?
Do what now?
What kind of odds did you get?
It wasn't good. It wasn't good.
I was going to say, it sounds like one of those races where somebody wins, you know, quarter, 50 cents, dollar.
Well, I'll tell you what, me, Jenny, and Lisa, we took it very serious, and we had a lot of fun. And Tim, I always mess his last name up, Lezak or whatnot, he was a coach over there in Aurora at the time. This guy took off, and he had about probably 150-foot jump on everybody and was gone. Like, we was never catching that guy. He was out of there like he was in a full race. I don't know what he thought he was doing. Me, Jenny, and Lisa did it right. We raced each other. We didn't just beat each other.
And then, Nick, so going back to the event, because I'm curious, I love when outdoors
yes.
gets involved.
Yeah.
And especially when you're talking Kentucky in April, it's going to be fantastic weather. So we know about the recreational division. What about then for a normal, you know, division skater, an elite skater? What kind of distances can they look forward to that day?
Well, here's what I can tell you. On your quad division outdoor, it's going to have three races. All of these are going to have 100-meter drag races, winner moves on.
Yes.
All of them will get that. Quad division will do 100, 500, and a 2,000-meter race. Your inline divisions will all be 100, 500, and 2,000-meter races. And then your elite division, let me preface your elite division, which I believe is going to be elite skaters 14 years and older. You know, if you think you're good enough to race with the big boys.
That's me.
Bring it. 100-meter drag, 500-meter race, and a 10,000-meter elimination race. What's cool about the elite inline, men and women, we have put together a cash prize package. Three races overall. Overall winner gets $300 cash, second place $200 cash, third place $100 cash, of both men's and women's.
Nice. So take care of your entries. Race for free.
That's exactly what it is, you know.
Race for
and
free.
And you got to understand, when you're an elite racer, that's a lot of money. That means something.
Yeah, and the elite racers, a lot of them have sponsors or they have parents with deep pockets. I know, because I had a
big
deep.
Well, you have some that are starving, that are starving skaters, too.
Yeah.
I've been there. I've been a macaroni and cheese kid.
Macaroni and cheese, man, you're part of the wealthy ones. It was ramen noodles for me, buddy.
Well, I didn't tell you it was Kraft cheese, you know, shells and cheese. It was the white box with the generic label.
I'm in.
So we've got on Saturday, the doors are going to open at 6 a.m. You know, most of these events, these races we go to, the doors open at 5 a.m. and the first race is at 6. I can't do it. It's hard. 6 a.m. is going to be tough enough. The first race on Saturday is going to be 7 o'clock a.m. with quad divisions. Your quad divisions indoor are going to be basically short and shorter races. It's going to be your short race and your medium race. Then we're going to do quad relays, two man, two woman, two mixed. And then we're going to go straight to rookie inline. Rookie inline will be two races as well, short and medium races. I don't have the exact meters, the exact laps in front of me, but they're going to be your short and medium races. Then we'll do awards, and then we will head out to the University of Kentucky football stadium. We will be racing outdoor on Saturday. It is under the football stadium and the causeways around it. It's covered. The first race is going to be the recreation race, and we'll do the quad races, and then we'll get into the inline events, and they will finish under the lights. So it'll be outdoor at night under the lights at the University of Kentucky. And then on Sunday, doors open 6 a.m., first events at 7, inline divisions, short, medium, long. We're doing three races on inline. Then we'll do inline two-person relays, two-man, two-girl, two-mixed, and then awards. So it's going to be a packed weekend. The welcome reception, we're going to do, you know, a little bit different there. We're going to have welcome reception on Friday, but we're going to feed everybody. We'll do, you know, you're coming to Kentucky.
Beanie
you're going to come
weenies?
To race. You're going to have a good time. I'm going to feed you pulled pork and scalloped potatoes and coleslaw.
Wait.
Get you a full belly.
You got me hungry already. I don't even have to race. I just want to come eat.
He's drooling on the microphone.
I'm excited for you, Nick. This is really big.
Don't
this
get me
is
wrong.
Huge.
This is a lot of work. I mean, this isn't, you know, if it was worth doing, you know, everybody would do it. It's not easy.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm really excited about this platform of the college perspective. I mean, you've talked a few times on the phone before today. And, you know, basically I've been waiting for you to kind of get things groundwork laid down. And then my plan is to reach out to the college here in town and see if we can't kind of tag on to what you're doing over there. And, you know, I've had a dream for, you know, a middle school program, skating program, not just a learn to skate, but an actual racing program with competing middle schools. And I've never been able to bring it to fruition. So hearing this is pretty exciting for me, because I would hope that every coach in every city that has a team would be able to reach out to the colleges in their local area and maybe be able to jump onto this and get, you know, more stuff going in the colleges.
And that's when these guys pitched this to me, it kind of caught me off guard. But you and I had already had this conversation. I guess we had it at your meet. And, you know, I was thinking about the concept, and then they pitched it, and they told me exactly what it was. So the Bluegrass Sports Commission they're mixed up with the state games. All 50 states have their state games, and it's big business. I mean, these guys are about tourism. They're about bringing people into each individual city. They're promoting sport, but they're selling hotel rooms and they're selling food and beverage. And that's how these guys, you know, generate money. You know, they take the entry fees from your state games and it pays for facilities. The tourism is really big. And if we can continue to grow the tourism side of these meets that we have, I don't even know if you look with your local tourism board there in Fort Wayne, you know, you should talk to those guys. You know, when they do, you know, the Blue Ridge Challenge, you know, those guys need to talk to their tourism board and get some sponsorship dollars. And
yeah,
I took it straight to them and they said, hey, we like this.
Well, you know, we hosted Nationals here 1 year, and you know, the other team across town and their rink owner was big with being on the Chamber of Commerce, and they got the city involved to bring Indoor Nationals here. I believe it was 2010, and it was a good time. I mean, we had a really good time. The city loved it. The event was great, and I'm with my outdoor event that I hosted this past October. There was actually a handful of people. Now, we didn't really promote it for the city. It was just basically promoted for the skaters. However, there were a lot of people that just drive by coming through the facility and through the parking lot, saw what was going on. They stopped and, you know, wanted to check it out. And I'm pretty excited about getting other organizations involved and maybe getting on some type of a city calendar. So I'm going to be reaching out for more information. And we'll get the information from Nick as well.
I'll lay the blueprint out for you. I mean, these guys, when I tell you that these guys were aggressive, they're really aggressive. They brought the mayor of Lexington on board. She is, she's newly elected, but she's going to do a video welcome promoting this event, promoting roller skating.
Nice. That's really impressive to see that kind of involvement. And I think listening to you, Nick, it's like, okay, anyone who's kind of thinking about doing something like this, there are maybe some other avenues that we haven't considered to find some of those sponsorship dollars and people who can just help put the event on.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that I probably shouldn't tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. The Kentucky Tourism Board, when we met with them, I told them what I needed to bring racers, to bring, you know, elite inline racers. And I asked for money, and they gave me more money than I asked for. And all that money is going straight to, straight to the elite purses outdoor. I asked for $1,000. They gave me $1,200.
Nice.
And yeah, you look at that. So now all of a sudden, because there's the cash, you get the elite skaters, all the other skaters follow. I know it's going to be an awesome event, Nick. And before we wrap things up, just real quick, let's go over the dates again and where people can go to get some more info and to get themselves in.
Sure. The dates are Friday, April 12th through Sunday, April 14th. If you want information, www.visitchamps.com/KY Speed. All that information is going to be there. It's also going to be, this will also be a Midwest Point Series event too. So all your points for the Midwest Point Series will count. So you still get your points for the league. The registration is going to be through Lisa Dunham. If you got questions, you can email me, nick@visitchamps.com. And if you really want my phone number, call Chris. He'll give it to you.
Perfect. And we'll put up all this info. So like when someone goes to the Skate Talk page, whether it be our Facebook or whatnot, they'll be able to find all of this info on there. I know the turnout's going to be amazing. Thanks for the time on this, Nick. We'll have to get you back as the event gets even closer to kind of see where everything is. And we'll, of course, have to get a recap from you as well.
That's awesome. Maybe we'll have you guys down. Maybe you need to do a podcast from the event. Maybe you do it for the University of Kentucky.
It's definitely going to happen.
A vacation time.
Also, we're doing a 1,500-piece mailer, too, that'll go out midweek next week. It'll be a direct mail to rinks and coaches and skaters alike.
I like that. You know, you're doing all the right steps to make sure that this is successful. Nick, we're going to talk again real soon.
Come to Kentucky in April.
We'll see you then. Thank you so much. Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
Skate fast.
And turn left.